Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to SEBES video conference to discuss the results for the 2020 results. My name is Mario Sampaio. I'm the head of capital markets and investor relations. Let's start by informing all participants that this video conference is being recorded. The presentation accompanied by slides is being transmitted over the internet through the website www.sebes.com.br and through the MZIQ platform. The presentation will be available for download on the same portal as well as the results release. We remind you that the questions will be accepted to the speakers only through the videocast platform. Our conference will take approximately 1 hour and 30 minutes, and we will reserve up to 45 minutes for question and answers from analysts and investors. Before proceeding, we would like to clarify that any statements that may be made during this conference relating to the company's business prospects, projections, and operational and financial goals constitute the beliefs of and assumptions of SEBES management, as well as information currently available for the company. Future considerations are not guarantees of performance. They involve risks, uncertainties, and assumptions as they refer to future events and therefore depend on circumstances that may not occur. Investors should understand that general economic conditions, industry conditions, and other operating factors may affect the future results of the company and may lead to results that differ materially from those expressed in such forward-looking statements. Let me start by presenting our speakers and my colleagues. Okay, so today we have with us Mr. Rui Afonso, Chief Financial Officer and Investor Relations Officer. Also, Mr. Marcelo Miyagi, Accounting Head of Accounting. Agnaldo Pacheco, Head of Controller, and Luis Tiberio, Head of Tariffs and Costs. Let me start by making some considerations on the slides. So let's get started. Okay, great. So before we go through the slides, let's make a brief an introduction. We'd like to start saying that 2020 was marked by a number of unprecedented events that are essential to understand in order to analyze the results of any company in any sector of the economy. These events take on a particular dimension for SEBES and the sanitation sector, which we will highlight below as an outlining condition for the results presented by the company last year. The prospects for the economic recovery in Brazil in early 2020 were highly uncertain and were radically reversed when the World Health Organization declared COVID-19 a pandemic in early March. The global spread of the virus created a double crisis, one in public health, marked by efforts to reduce the contamination rates of the virus and adapt hospital structures according to the demand of each country and region, and another in the economy arising from steep reductions in domestic and external demands, which resulted in recession and widespread deflationary pressures. The combined effects of these double crises began to be perceived as of the second quarter of the year. Social distancing measures, higher unemployment rates, lower tax collection, and the increasing public debt led to a sharp decline in GDP projections and a scenario marked by high uncertainty, volatility, and low confidence from all economic agents. Under this scenario, the company revenues began to drop, delinquency rates began to rise, as did financial expenses. The lower availability of public and private credit impacted the company's business, which faced the situation from its particular condition as a supplier of an essential service in the fight against COVID-19 pandemic, that is, the water. By not overlooking regular water supply to the population, SEBES played an active role in facing the crisis on several fronts. First, the company temporarily exempted payments of water bills for the social residents and social in favela residence categories benefited more than 2 million people who live in the most vulnerable situations of society. The company also allowed customers in the commercial and service categories to pay their overdue debts installments, and furthermore, directed by ARSESP, the company also postponed its tariff readjustment, which was scheduled originally to occur in the first half of the year, but was implemented in the second half. Second, Sabesp boosted Flory Nation in its reused water supply to be used for cleaning and sanitizing surrounding areas of hospitals and emergency rooms. The company also promoted the distribution of small water tanks to households without reservation capacity, installed public wash basins and drinking fountains in areas lacking infrastructure, and distributed food baskets to reinforce food availability to the population in these locations. The financial impacts brought by the crisis affected the company revenues as of the second quarter of 2020, in which billed volumes for non-residential categories fell abruptly, while volumes in the residential category increased, but at tariffs that are on average 50% lower on the residential category. The volume of water produced rose slightly, 1.2%, but not enough to mitigate the drop in revenues due to the lower average tariff and the change in the mix of billed volumes, as mentioned, among different consumption categories and regions. Sabesp management did not hesitate to take measures aimed at adapting the company's expenses to the new scenario. Expenses budget reductions in the amount of 450 million were implemented, and the program to reduce its staff by 8% was maintained. This effort resulted in a 2% reduction in costs, administrative and selling expenses, excluding construction costs, depreciation, and amortization. An estimated loss with doubtful accounts. Simultaneously with the cost adjustment, the company took over actions to preserve its cash position during the highly uncertain period. Despite highly selective and credit constrained markets, Sabesp managed to raise 4.5 billion reais by issuing three debentures. We added 3.5 billion reais and complemented our funding requirements with a 550 million reais loan from the IDB Invest. In addition, we signed a standstill operation with the BNDES to postpone the payment of 131 million of debt servicing due in 2020 and used the instrument of guarantee insurance to avoid a cash outflow of 223 million in some of the legal proceedings we have. At the same time, actions aimed at reducing the foreign exchange exposure of the debt we initiated in 2019 were intensified in 2020 in view of the impacts of the crisis on the economy and its effect on exchange rate volatility. In May 20, we exchanged 494 million dollar IDB denominated dollar denominated debt. We exchanged it for a real denominated debt in an amount resulting in an amount of 2.8 billion reais. And in September, we prepaid with reais a $350 million euro bond that was to mature in December last year. Along with these amortizations carried out in 2020, the company foreign currency debt was reduced by more than $900 million. As a result, foreign currency debt decreased from 48% on December 31st, 19 to 21% on December 31st, 20. In summary, the company proved to be quite resilient in the unfavorable crisis conditions that marked last year, overcoming obstacles on the operational side as well as on the financial side and in terms of accessing capital markets. This was possible to a great extent because of the engagement of our staff, with approximately 5,900 employees working from home and the remaining frontline employees adopting strict health security protocols. There was no customer service interruption for the population, as they were directed to our virtual agencies. Strategic suppliers were also mapped to ensure the regular delivery of supplies. We also reorganized our teams to take advantage of the low urban traffic and intensified the maintenance works necessary to guarantee service and water supply at this crucial time. Management's efforts, along with employee engagement, allowed the company to maintain investment levels, enter into an agreement to supply water at retail level with the municipality of Mauá, a city with a population of approximately 500,000, also to participate with robust and technically detailed contributions to the third tariff review process and the tariff restructuring proposal made by ARCESP. At the end of 20, SABESP resumed its profitability, significantly increasing any projected dividend distribution expectation after the first quarter result, as we will see below. But having said this, now let's go and start the discussions on the results for 20. Moving then to slide 3, we can see a 3.1% increase in total billed volume for the year of 20, for the year, of which 2.2% was for water and 4.1% for sewage, excluding Mauá, Santo André, and part of the exemption given to the social and favela categories, the increase was 0.9%. Moving to the next slide, let me just come back here. on slide 4, let's overview some financials and highlight some financials. Starting with revenue in 2020, we had a 6.1% reduction in gross revenue and a 1% reduction in net revenue. As you can see in the graph, in comparison, construction revenue was significantly higher in 2020, which largely mitigated the effects on net revenue. The drop in revenue is explained by the one-off effect from the debt agreement with the City of Santo André in 2019 in the amount of 1.261 million reais compared to the debt agreement with the City of Mauá in 20 in the amount of 193 million reais. This resulting in a negative variation of 1,068 million in gross revenues. In addition, the tariff adjustment rate of 3.4 applied in August 20 was not enough to offset the reduction in revenues from the non-recurring events, including the drop in the average tariff arising from the change in the consumption profile, as already mentioned. If we exclude construction costs, the company's administrative and selling expenses increased by 4.5%, which is in line with inflation. If we also exclude 247% increase in estimated loss from doubtful accounts and the 14.4% increase in depreciation and amortization expenses, or expenses decrease actually by 2% or 152 million reais, all this as a result of the efforts to reduce costs during the period. Due to these variations in revenue expenses, adjusted EBITDA decreased by 14.5%. But if we disregard the non-recurring effects of 20, in this case, the agreement with Mauá, and the other non-recurring events in 19, which includes the reversal of the provision with the retired tax and agreements with Santo André, Guarujá, and San Bernardo do Campo, the variation in EBITDA would actually be positive by 1.1%. Finally, the net profit for the period of 973 million was 71% lower than the net profit presented in the previous years. Let's, on slide 5, analyzing 2020 quarter by quarter, we note that starting from a loss of 658 million the first quarter, mainly due to the devaluation of the real of 29% against the dollar, we end the year with almost we ended the year with almost 1 billion in net profit, which means that the company generated 1.6 billion of profit in the last 9 months of the year. Although below the value obtained, the profit obtained in 2019, the profit in 20 can be considered a very good given the adverse impacts brought about the economic and health crisis. In addition, also 2019 represents a specifically high basis of comparison due to the difference in the one-off effects of the debt agreements that we mentioned related to Santo André and Mauá. Let's move on to our next slide, the slide six, where we show costs and expenses. The main increases in expenses were related to estimated losses of allowance for loan losses of 247% in the amount of 316 million reais, product of the economic framework already described by us. Depreciation and amortization also increased and by 14.4% or 256 million reais. Treatment materials increased 9.1% or 28.4 million. Electricity rose by 6.5 or 74 million. And finally, tax expenses had an increase of 5.7%. The most relevant reductions, on the other hand, in expenses were for general expenses at 15.2% with a value of 179 million reais, personnel of 1.3% or 34 million reais, services of 2% or 36 million, and general materials of 3.3 or 9.1 million reais. Well, the details, I'm sure you can find them in other variations and discussions in our earnings release. Let's now go to slide next slide. Here we show our financial performance summarized, which summarizes all that we have explained so far. We started with a net income of 3.3 billion in 2019, which was greatly impacted by the one-off effect from the Santo André agreement, plus the pre-pandemic economic context. Next, net operating revenue decreased by 186 million due to the non-recurring effects in 19 and the drop in the average tariff in 20, which was partly offset by the construction revenue. Cost and expenses, including construction costs, increased by 1.2 billion. Other operating revenues and expenses, including equity result, was positive by 136 million. Our financial result fell by 2.1 billion, mainly due to the depreciation of the real. Income tax and social contribution increased by 957 million due to the lower taxable income, which partly offset losses in the result. And finally, net income totaled 973 million reais in 2020. On the next slide, we will briefly comment on some of our performance indicators for the fourth quarter of 2020. The following performance management indicators show basically gross revenue, operating expenses, and EBITDA, all of them per billed cubic meter. The historical series is presented since 2014, as you can see, based on quarterly financial data disclosed by the company, excluding non-recurring and relevant events that would distort the result in the comparison. In order also to maintain the indexes of the period with the same price base, all the indicators were calculated in average values for fourth quarter 20 and adjusted by the IPCA inflation index. So in this case, gross revenue per cubic meter has been increasing gradually in average terms in relation to the previous quarters in 20, although it is still below 19. Operating expenses per cubic meter billed has been stable in the long term. In the fourth quarter of 2020, it decreased over the previous quarter of the year, and was also lower than in 2019. Last, EBITDA per cubic meter build ratio reinforces once again the growth trajectory in the period. The index for the fourth quarter of 2020 improved in relation to the previous quarters, returning to the same level that it was in the fourth quarter of 2019. Let's now then move to the next slide, talk about CapEx. So despite the uncertainties and volatility that we still experience, in 2020, we were able to practically maintain the expected level of investments for the year and exceed that of 2019. In 2020, the total book value of investments was 4.4 billion. If we disregard from this value the extraordinary effect of the agreement with Mahwah, the value reduces to 4.1 billion. Now, 2019 CapEx book value was 5.1 billion. If we disregard the 1.3 billion value of the agreement with Santo André, this value drops to 3.7 billion. In such, comparing this value with that of the 2020 of 4.1 billion, we just commented, we can see that the amount invested actually in 2020 increased in relation to 2019. Also, comparing the forecasted CapEx value for the year of 2020, last year, on a cash basis of 3.5 billion with the actual value of 3.3 billion, we can see that even in these very adverse condition, disbursements with investments were quite consistent. Now, looking ahead, more specifically for the period of 2021 to 2025, the forecasted disbursement with CapEx adds to 21 billion, of which 61% is sewage, or 12.8 billion, and 39%, or 8.2 billion in water. Considering that the investments forecasted for the expansion of the water security during the 2014-2015 water crisis are concluded, with only the reversal of the Itapanhaú River remaining, and it should be completed this year, the mix of investments in sewage collection and treatment is currently higher than on water, which means that we will be investing more in sewage collection and water, and this already starts this year of 2021 with 58%. Let's now comment on the tariffs. First of all, we would like to congratulate the technical work performed by the regulatory agency and the way it has been conducting the tariff review process with predictability and transparency, which makes us believe the process is balanced and is based on strong technical grounds. On February 8th, two preliminary technical notes were released, one addressing the proposed calculations for the P0, the maximum average tariff, and the X factor, and the other addressing the proposal for the tariff structure review. After these technical notes were released, public hearings were held to discuss these topics. We highlight that the P0 disclosed in the amount of 4.8413 reais per cubic meter was calculated over the measured volume and not the billed volume, which is what we normally report. Also, the number was net of COFINS and PASEP taxes, making the comparison with other results or previous results, company results, a little more difficult. Although everyone here is aware of this, another important point we draw attention to is the proposal for the new tariff structure, which shows implementation beginning in 2022 with a gradual ramp-up of the tariff until the end of the cycle. We also understand that you have already, hopefully, read our contributions on both topics, but again, we can cover them later in our Q&A session. Finally, we emphasize that our CESP is expected to complete its studies and publish its final technical note with the final numbers by April 9 this year. Next slide, regarding the water situation in in continuity to the comments we made in our last conference call, the third quarter 20 call. Rainfall indexes remain below the historical average. Despite the rainfall being lower than expected, we can observe that the water storage from the water sources that supply the metro region of São Paulo is still very much under control. The construction of the São Lourenço water production system and the Jaguari-Atibainha water interconnection increased overall São Paulo metro region water security systems precisely to cope with this period of water stress. To give an idea, were it not for these investments, in July 20, the Cantareira system would have to reach the level by which we would have to draw water from the technical reserve. But that didn't happen. But we would like also to take the opportunity then, right now, to bring a point that must be remembered and considered by you when analyzing the situation of water availability and the production systems in the metro region of São Paulo, more specifically, the weight, the relevance that each system has in the total supply of the region. Before the 14-15 water crisis and investments made to increase water security were concluded, the Cantareira system was responsible on average for 49% of the region's supply. If added to the weight of the Tietê system of 17%, both alone covered more than 65% of the demand. As you can see in the slide, this has substantially changed. Today, the distribution of water is more flexible and less concentrated in the Cantareira system as compared to the past, which brings much more water security to the region and makes it possible to face dry periods as well as the one we saw last year. Last comment with no slides. We would like to highlight then before we go to the Q&A session is that on March 17th, Congress approved the maintenance of the executive vetoes to the law 14026, the new sanitation law. With this, the sanitation framework as it stands today should provide a clear scenario for the sector to reorganize itself and grow in an accelerated mode. As we have mentioned several times, the approval of the vetoes that prevent the renewal of the program contracts for an additional 30 years has a low impact for SABESP. Today, we have at risk for renewal only 8 contracts representing 0.26% of our total revenue. All other program contracts we hold were renewed before the law was approved and are insured, or we have them secured, for an average period of 26 years, with the largest actual contract being the one with the municipality of São Paulo that is valid until 2040, almost 20 years. For this reason, we must continue to carefully and actively monitor the discussion and definitions of decrees and regulations that must be arised as a result of the approval of the law. Pending the definition, for example, are the transition rule for municipalities that have precarious contracts, definition on regional block formations, rules for the identification of assets, and several other issues that still arise doubts and uncertainties among the specialists. Well, this concludes our presentation. Let's go for the question and answer session. Okay. Okay, so here we are. Let me see if we have questions coming in. Just give me a second. Doesn't seem that we have questions. Hey guys. Okay, we have one question here. It's from Juan Niska from Wellington Management. The question is, what is the difference between accounting and cash capex? Which one goes to the RAP?
first one could be by Mr. Miyagi, and then the portion applied to the web addressed by Mr. Right?
Okay, good afternoon, everybody. Talking about the difference and about the account numbers and the cash numbers is because the mainly because the borrowing costs are capitalized in the while the construction is in progress. So sometimes or most of the times they don't have the cash affecting these borrowing costs. So this is one big difference. Also some like contracts, performance contracts are also recognized in the accounting numbers, but we do not expend money while it's in progress. Okay. Too bad we can talk about the.
Okay, so let me take from there. It's very likely that your question is associated with what should I consider for the regulatory asset base, I suppose, right? And the main answer to that is the regulatory body will consider an increase on the regulatory asset base once the construction in progress moves to an asset in service, right? So once it gets operating. So it's neither cash or accounting wise. It's when it moves from a construction in progress into the operating assets account. That's the moment when it triggers an increase in the regulatory asset.
Okay. Jean-Jean, is that clear? Any other questions? Okay, we have one more question coming in. Let's see. It's from Hassan Doza from Water Asset Management. The question is, can you please highlight and talk about the remaining key differences between SABESP and ARSESP at this time in regard to the tariff and P0? Hui?
Very quickly. And then give the floor to Mr. Tiberio to complete in more details. We have several different aspects that, of course, we have differences of methodologies and approaches with ARSESP methods, several. And it would take a lot of time to discuss, even the main ones. Have hundreds of pages of considerations. But I can summarize, starting by saying that the final number of the tariff hike that is needed to reach the required revenues for SABESP, in our view, should be applied in a very very closely to the financial and the preliminary tariff hike. I mean, we can even agree with the growth number for the tariff hike needed to achieve the required revenue for the whole period of the next 4 years tariff cycle. But we put attention on, we need to re-emphasize the need to close the gap between the economic the economic considerations of RCSP and the financial concrete application of the tariff initial high. That is our first and I believe more comprehensive difference between what we propose and what RCSP is proposing in its preliminary note, technical note. We have some others. Maybe we can choose one or two, Tiberio, and share with Mr. Hassan Doza.
Okay, I can do that. Our document commenting on the preliminary note has more than 100 pages in there. Obviously, it's quite a long document, but really you could summarize the content in there in a few, I would say, 5 or 6 subjects. First, we have commented on volume. We obviously included a few contributions on OPEX. And one that is quite important is the recognition of prior periods regulatory asset base from the first tariff cycle. So we made a comment on that. That's quite important. We want the regulator to consider this amount that is almost 3 billion reais that he's recognizing right now. We ask the regulator to consider that backwards and not from this point forward. So that's one of the main requests we've made. And obviously, as Rui mentioned, even though the P0, the P0 calculation looks or seeks to deliver a balance, an economical balance to the company, you need this economical balance to be translated in the financial year-by-year balance as well. So that's once the regulator has calculated 484 reais per cubic meter for us, but has deferred the application of this adjustment over the years, given the new tariff structure, obviously we are balanced in economical terms, but we are not exactly balanced in a financial year-by-year basis. So we added a comment towards that as well. And then another few minor items, given adjustment from compensation for in regards to execution of prior plans, as well as impact on our sales mix, given the COVID-19 pandemic. So I would say those are the main ones. I'll be summarizing it in a very, very nutshell.
Sorry, I was on mute. So we have one more question here from Liliana Yang from HSBC. The question is, what are the chances of a delay in the rate review tariffs restructuring agenda and hike implementation? And if the proposed tariff hike for May 2021 comes as is to at below inflation, what are the risks to your CapEx budget? Another question, could you please give color and your appetite for new service contracts out of São Paulo State at a time year when you are still undergoing a change in the tariff structure and when you seem to be getting a relatively low one-digit tariff increase this May 21? Thanks. So we mixed two things here. One, related to the increase, and two, related to the expansion of markets. So Rui, pass the word to you.
Maybe Tiberio could start with the first one, and I'll talk a little bit about the second question, right? So the tariff implications of the initial proposal of RCS. And second, I'll talk about the market expansion appetite of for sub-ESP, right?
Okay, you can do that. Yeah, indeed your reading of the technical notes are right. I mean, we should be getting a tariff hike of mid two digits, and the tariff, the proposed tariff adjustment for the first year of the cycle, which kind of translates back to that speech I just gave between economical balance and financial year by year equilibrium. In the first year, we should be getting, based on the initial proposal, we should be getting mid to low or low to mid one digit increase. Actually, between 4 to 5% increase. We made a comment on that, so we said that obviously it shouldn't be the case. Even more, if you were to consider the fact that we are increasing our CapEx. Our CapEx program for the next 4 years is way higher than what we have performed in this cycle that ended in 2020. So that's one of the main reasons why we should also get most of the tariff hike as close as possible to what the economical balance is pointing to, is pointing at. So that's the basis of our contribution. Obviously, we need to understand that if we are moving from one tariff structure to another one, which should bring more competitive environment for sub-ESP to the non-residential customers, someone is going to pay that. And obviously, if someone is paying less tariff on one side of the equation, someone else should be paying more so that you still match this equilibrium. You really, I mean, it doesn't make a lot of sense if you were to do that at once, right? I guess we all should agree that some type of transition period should be considered. Whether this transition period is 4 years, 6 years, 10 years, 1 year, I mean, 1 year wouldn't be the case, but I mean, it's something to discuss. We obviously want the economical balance to be as upfront as we can, and we want any difference to be capitalized so that there is no loss for any sub-ESP shareholder, right? So it's, if we are not to get the full amount that we should in the first year, obviously then we should be having this portion that is not being achieved capitalized and included in the next years of the cycle. So that's kind of how we look at it. I don't feel Mari is a very smart guy. He's going to access the financing market. So I don't feel that even though we do not reach 15, 16%, 12%, whatever the figure is, the final figure is going to be in the first year, company will still be financiable, if I may use that word. And obviously, we shouldn't compromise CapEx for that. That's the view at this point in time.
Okay. Pui, it's up to you now.
All right. Liliana, I would like to remind everybody that Sabesp actually is being very active, proactive in maintaining and expanding its market share the last 3 years. During the discussion of the new regulatory framework for sanitation in Brazil, we have been able to expand Big municipalities spend in big municipalities assuring contracts like, remember, Guarulhos, Diadema, Santo André, and lastly, Mauá. But with those, we have been able to assure contracts with dozens and dozens of medium-sized municipalities during this period. And to say, we are not right now, we put close attention in our neighbor and our neighborhood in São Paulo. We are now approaching the cities outside São Paulo, like we did in Casal. Now there is SEDAI and some other possibilities. We are analyzing very carefully, like our CEO had mentioned during our conference call in this morning. But with caution, we are a big company. We have not just to expand. We also we have great opportunities to expand our productivity and our profitability in our area of concessions. In other words, we have a lot, hundreds of municipalities, millions of clients, and possibilities to expand our profitability inside São Paulo market share. Of course, we will take, as Mr. Braga have said, careful looking at new opportunities, but they have to be profitable and looks not uncertain, because we are not desperate to expand and deteriorate somehow our good position in the market. That's between these two milestones we have to take our decisions.
Sorry again, I just want to make sure I don't miss any questions here. I think there's one more from Chuan. Let me make sure I get it here. Just a second, please. Okay, Liliana. Okay, there's a first one from Jean-Jean. No, I think it's Jean-Jean. I think the question is the same. The question was, what is the difference between accounting and cash capex? Which one goes to the RAB? That's the one I don't seem to find
the same.
I don't seem to find them. Okay. Yep. The question continues. Over the long term, are the numbers that are close to the accounting capex that go to the RAB? There is a big difference between accounting and cash. I think that was just complimenting. I think we answered that. And if we did not, well, Juan, ask again, or we can explain later, of course, in a call, however best for you. Okay, let me check. Are there any more questions? No more questions. Okay. Let's do this. Let's finalize our call. So the word is with you. Seems to be one more question. Yes, yeah. There's one from Yuli. let's work on that one. Okay, take. Okay, yeah. So there's one more from Lily. The guaranteed revenue target set by the regulator seems to be a great idea, but seems to come with a risk of underperformance if your actual revenue comes, very small. If your actual revenues come to be 5 to 10% below the revenue target. So what are the chances and key risks for your revenues to come short of the targets? And what's the rationale of having such a high range, plus or minus 10%? And can this wide range narrow? Got it, guys?
Want me to take that, Rui, or do you want to make a any comment before?
Please, your time.
Okay, so that's a great question. Actually, the regulator has defined the range to be in the first year plus or minus 5%, then 7.5%, then 10%, right? So it is indeed a huge range. And it's only the portion that goes over this limit that should be somehow compensated in the following year. So it's only what's off this limit that gets compensated. So indeed, the assured revenue is something, it's a good idea in a transition period. So indeed, it is a great idea. The fact, though, is that the range doesn't seem to be right. And we made a comment on that. Actually, our comment was that for the first year, given the fact that there is no new tariff structure in the first year, we are actually going to still be billing our customers the same way that we were billing before. And we are not getting the entire percentage increase that the P0 was pointing at. We said, okay, so if you're not getting the entire revenue for the first year, then the range should be 0%. So everything that is off below it or above it, everything that is off the 16.5 billion reais that is the required revenue for the first year should be compensated in the following year. And then for the upcoming years, when you have a new tariff structure getting in place, we propose 2.5%, up or down 2.5%. So that gives us a full range of 5%. We believe that plus or minus 2.5% is something that would grant the equilibrium for the company. Plus or minus 10% is we haven't really received any indication that there was an economical calculation underpinning that choice. We didn't find it. So our contribution is to go for 2.5% for the second, third, and fourth year, 0% for the first year.
Okay. We don't have any other questions on the pipeline. So let me give you guys 10, 15, 20 seconds here to see if you still have some questions before we finalize. So let's just wait a while then. Seems no questions. So just asking the backup team, and no other questions? Confirmed, right? So, Rui, the word is with you for the final remarks.
All right. I would like to say to all of you, it was a pleasure to meet you all, to share our efforts in order to secure our results. such a very, very difficult time for all of us. We Sabesp, we Brazil, and we the whole world. We hope we see you soon, not only through internet, but also in person, in our one-on-one meetings and investors conferences very soon. Safe. Thank you very much. See you soon.